Hello everyone. You may have noticed we've been pushing this sort of survey thingish thing at you. It's from GoPop TV, which is amazing, and you're going to find out very, very soon why it's so amazing. Basically, GoPop is doing something where you can interact with the show with your friends. And I can't say anything more than that, or I may be killed in a very horrible manner. But basically, they're building a whole new social experience for TV, and they want to embrace all things Sherlock. It's an exciting new way not only for us to share our love of Sherlock, but for you as well. So seriously, go to gopop.tv/Sherlock, fill in the survey, and you're going to get access to beta testing before everyone else does. We just finished the demo that you guys will be babying, and I hope you really enjoy it. And yeah, so go to www.gopop.tv/Sherlock.
Hello, listeners. Now, before we begin our discussion, I would like to say a few words about our sponsors. The Baker Street Journal is a leading Sherlockian publication with features written by the readers for the readers. It contains both academic articles and light, fun reading for any sort of Sherlock Holmes enthusiast. If you are a fan of The Great Detective and the other works of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, and you'd like to know more about the journal or how to subscribe, their website is www.bakerstreetjournal.com. The Scintillation of Sion is an annual symposium held in Maryland, USA, for fans of Sherlock Holmes, Dr. Watson, and Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. It is sponsored by Watson's Tin Box, and if you'd like to know more about the next event, their website is www.scintillation.org. Wessex Press, an imprint of Gassagene Books, is a premier publisher of books about Sherlock Holmes and his world. They are also our publishers. The One Fixed Point in a Changing Age, A New Generation on Sherlock Holmes, is a collection of essays written by online fans. It was edited by several of the Baker Street Babes and contains a foreword by Laurie R. King, the author of the Mary Russell series. If you'd like to know more about Wessex Press or our publication, please go to www.wessexpress.com.
Curly here. Basically, what you're about to listen to is a compilation of interviews that Caffers and Taylor did while at Starfury's Elementary Con in Birmingham. And we got to chat briefly with Lars Mikkelsen, who plays Charles Augustus Magnusson, Jonathan Aris, who plays Anderson, and Arlwyn Jones, who is the set designer and dresser and behind-the-scenes guru of everything and very, very Welsh. They also got to talk with a few cosplayers that were there, so thank you to those of you who chatted with us. I hope you enjoy all three of these fabulous supporting members of Sherlock.
Oh, they call us the irregulars, but baby, we're always on time. Baker Street Babes, always leave the rest of them behind. Oh. So when Scotland Yard they send you home, you feel like you're losing your mind. If this quotidian world has got you crying, won't you two-two-one?
Okay, so we're at the Elementary Con in Birmingham, and just say what your name is.
Denise John Loch Ness on Tumblr.
Brilliant, and I think you probably have to describe your costume because this is pretty good.
I'm cosplaying as John Watson in Afghanistan, 5th Northumberland Fusiliers.
It's a fantastic costume. Now, at the moment, we're waiting in line for autographs. And who are you hoping to see today?
Lars Mikkelsen, yes. Yeah. And, of course, also Jonathan Aris and Arlwyn Jones. But, yeah.
My name's Anik, and I'm Watson Warrior on Tumblr.
And are you cosplaying today?
Yes, well, sort of. I'm wearing the chulo he wears in the third series. And then I'm wearing the blue dressing gown and a grey shirt. So it's sort of a mixture of different cosplays.
And who are you hoping to meet this weekend?
Well, Benedict, of course. And Jonathan Aris is really... We just saw him at the Q&A, and he's a really nice guy. Just really open. And, well, of course, Lars Mikkelsen, because he's amazing. He's just so menacing. And he can go from really like a cold to really sweet, and it's really funny to see that happening.
This is the Baker Street Babes here at Star Fury Elementary Con. I am Kappas.
And I'm Taylor.
And we are here with Jonathan Aris and Lars Mikkelsen.
That's right.
It's a pleasure to meet you both.
Yeah, now,
I have a question for both of you, actually, and we'll start one at a time. What was your favourite scene that you filmed, either in the recent series or obviously just one episode, but like over the whole series? So, if we want to start with you, Jonathan.
Yeah. I think probably my favourite bit recently was the when Anderson, when Sherlock comes and tells him how he faked the suicide and then leaves the room, and I got to tear all the photographs and the strings and all that stuff off the wall. That was fun to do because it wasn't really in the script. It was something Mark Gatiss thought of at the last minute, so we hadn't rehearsed it or prepared it, and none of us knew how it was going to go. And I said, yeah, sure, happy to do that. And the cameraman looked like he was going to have a heart attack because he didn't know how to film it, where I was going to end up. But that was fun because you can only do that sort of thing once, and I just went for it. So I enjoyed doing that.
I think that's probably one of the fan favorite scenes.
Oh really?
Well, actually,
oh good.
Yeah, it's become like a meme on the internet, I think.
Oh, really?
It's like a reaction thing.
Yeah, whenever people need to react to anything, it's always Anderson
tearing stuff off the wall. Yeah, so I can imagine.
That's quite. It's quite a charming thing to have for that. So, Lars, what was your favorite? Like, kind of, people were a bit worried about me asking this question to you because there was a lot of interesting scenes that happened for your characters.
So. Yeah. I really loved doing all of them, but if I have one favorite scene, it'd be the one with the reveal. At Appledore, where he reveals that it's all in his mind. You know, I really enjoyed doing that.
Yeah.
Because it's such a build-up for that point, so it was nice getting that off.
Did you quite enjoy reading the script then when you received it and sort of had that like reveal in it as well?
I think we all did. I mean, I remember the read-through, and it was just, it just read so good. So, at least for me, I was really excited to that I was supposed to do this part. It's such a good part. It's such a good script.
It was fantastic.
Lars might or might not know, I don't know, is that we were all like fans when Lars walked in because it was so exciting for us, who the fans of Lars's work. It was for us, it was like being at a convention and Lars is here. Yeah. You know, so it was thrilling.
Did you not notice that people kind of a bit like?
No, I was just so starstruck and so scared shitless really. I had to sit in a room with like 30 English actors. Which I esteem, you know. Yeah. I think the level of British actors are just, they're on another level. And I had to do the lines. As you go, blah, 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 blah. So, I didn't really know. Louise, actually.
Yes.
Because she was having a cup of coffee and she looked up and she went, oh, fucking hell.
She's a charming girl.
Yeah, she is. She is. Yeah, but no, I love doing the whole thing, but I mean that part of the script where the reveal at Appledore, that's a nice,
fantastic.
It's an amazing character too. I mean, throughout, it's just a brilliant character.
Yeah. Very frightening.
So strong.
Well.
Which actually kind of leads into our next question for you is actually, did you have trouble getting into that mindset? You have to be this ruthless, like, absolutely, you know, stone cold character. And do you enjoy doing doing a villain role, or do you prefer being more in the like hero?
Well, I do enjoy doing the villains. I mean, because as I tend to say, that you addressing the outskirts of being human. You know?
Yeah.
So you sort of extremes.
You're on the boundary of what we can do as human persons. I mean, you don't relate to the morality and the ethics that we have. And it's always a bit fun.
The worst that you possibly can be. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We all dream.
It's your one chance to do that, I guess.
We had a lot of interesting questions yesterday for you about the changes in the Anderson character.
Yeah.
I actually was quite interested to know if you had an idea of how the animosity between Sherlock and Anderson might have started, because obviously they extremely irritate each other. Even right up in the end of series 3.
Do you mean what might have happened in the past?
What might have happened to kind of start that off?
Well, to me it seems pretty clear that, I mean, Sherlock is impatient with people who he thinks are stupid.
Yeah.
And in Anderson, you've got someone who's obviously not as brilliant as Sherlock by any means, but who thinks he's really clever and resents all the fuss made of Sherlock. So that's set up as two characters who are going to be
extremely disliking,
antagonistic towards each other from the start. Yeah, and it was always fun that, in a way, Anderson was one of the very few people who didn't think Sherlock was as amazing as he clearly is. Dramatically, it worked really well having someone like that.
Yeah, it does. He works really well as a counterpoint character, actually, because he is, as you say, like one of the only people who doesn't think that Sherlock is amazing.
Yeah, and brings out the best insults from Sherlock, usually.
Yeah, because of that, yeah.
Really damning put-downs, which are hilarious.
Yeah, no, they are very funny. And it's quite interesting, then, the way that Anderson then develops as a character, who kind of then, through his guilt, maybe kind of begins to idolise Sherlock as well.
Yeah,
a little fan club.
Yes, I mean, until I saw the scripts for Series 3, I didn't know it was going to go in that direction, so I was really pleased and excited to see that it was going to be something slightly different this time around.
Yeah, did you enjoy that, what happening in scripts then, when a character changes and you get to explore that?
Yeah, I think the best parts in anything are ones that start in one place, go to a second and end in a third. I mean, it's great to play that, because it's not just the same scene over and over or the same colour. So yes, it's really, when somebody changes, you get a chance to do a bit more acting in a way.
Yeah. So were you both quite surprised by the reaction of the fans? Obviously, because we're here at a convention today, which is to sort of celebrate everything to do with Sherlock. Did that kind of come as a surprise? Or do you kind of think, oh, maybe people will be quite excited by this project?
Well, for me, it's new. I haven't been in anything that sort of, you know, created this frantic atmosphere at all. It's new to me. I'm just taking it in. But it's really heartwarming, as an actor. I mean, you do your stuff, and then you might meet one or two persons at a pop sometime, you know, but to actually go to a con like this and to actually meet people like this, it's crazy. It's good.
Yeah, good. Crazy.
And I think the series as such deserves this. It is a very clever series, you know. I haven't seen anything like this at all.
It is very unique,
I think, having been involved a little bit from the very beginning, it was clearly a huge success from the start, but the fact that it's continuing to kind of explode bigger and bigger in popularity is unexpected, not because it doesn't deserve it, but because life isn't usually like that. And also life often, you know, the things that are the most popular aren't always the best, and Lars is right. It's thrilling to get the chance to celebrate something we're all really proud of, you know, and happy to be involved with.
That is nice. I think that is a good point to make, actually. Sometimes things that aren't perhaps as good as they could be are, like, celebrated more than they should be, whereas I think Sherlock is fantastically written, fantastically acted as well, and people are recognising that at a huge level with all these conventions.
And last night
it's always also to do with them only making three every other year, you know, because I mean, it's well worked on.
It's
worked to the core of what it should be. And maybe we could look at that with other things.
Yeah.
We don't have to sort of produce the whole thing.
I think there is a big element of that, the excitement that people have built up, especially waiting 2 years for the third series to come out. There's been like a lot of excitement that's built up in people. And that
could have backfired, though, if it wasn't, if it hadn't
and it was strong
gone
enough
as well
to
as
make
it did.
Yeah, that's the thing, then. It really has to be something we can.
Yeah, but also Lars and I were saying yesterday that because the show is clever and of quality, the people we're meeting here are, you know, smart, interesting people. Because that's really fun, actually, because I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah,
there are some. We've obviously met quite a lot of people here today, and like a lot of people we've met, like who are fans of Sherlock or just Sherlock Holmes in general, very lovely, very intelligent people.
Yeah,
and it's a really wonderful community to be part of as well. Actually,
they're very fun to talk with.
Good.
Yeah. Everyone's quite intelligent. Mm.
Well, thank you very much,
thank
guys.
You guys
we'll
so
be
much.
End that there before we get someone running in here to take you away again.
Okay.
But thank you very much for coming
it's
to meet us.
It's been a pleasure.
Guys.
Yes, we appreciate
time.
Great.
Sure.
It'll be fun.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Yeah, so just tell us your name or your username.
Sandra, I'm a Sherlock persona's assistant.
Could you describe your cosplay, because it's really lovely.
This is Sherlock. Thank you. This is Sherlock. I have the coat. This is actually my Christmas present for myself. Really expensive one, but, you know, a fangirl have to have some things. I have the scarf, purple, which is not quite the right color of purple shirt, but whatever, it's purple, and the black suit. And also a wig, which luckily I got 3 days before the con. So I tried to find a good one, because it's not really easy to find a curly one that matches Sherlock's. So
who are you looking forward to seeing this weekend?
Oh, what do you think? Of course, Benedict, yeah. I've been trying to meet him for such a long time. Yeah, this is my chance now.
All right, hello guys. We're here with Abel Wynne-Jones, and we'd just like to ask you a few questions. Now, I was wondering, what was your favourite set to build on Sherlock?
The favourite has to be Suit of One. It was the most demanding to start with to get right, but it's probably the one that gives the most pleasure back. And it's quite a nice place to spend time. Everyone you take in there quite likes it.
Was there like a favourite prop that you had on there as well?
It's the bison head with the headphones on. It's my favourite piece. It's one of the few things that actually stayed from the pilot into the...
Seeing it actually in the pilot as well. What did you think of the difference between the style then from the pilot going into...
Well, it's the brief has essentially changed. You know, the brief for the pilot was that it was a Sherlock Holmes story with elements of the 21st century. Mm. Whereas it was turned on its head then for the series proper, where it was very much a 21st century story with elements of Sherlock Holmes. So what you did with it changed, really. So the way I dressed the set changed. We started with elements 50s, maybe a couple of touches of 40s, and then every decade introduced something else to kind of...
Well, that's quite interesting.
Yeah, to kind of layer on top of each other as far as what was in that set.
No, that's really good.
How much more of the set is there that we're not seeing? We know there's the bathtub because we've got the teas, and everyone, I'm sure, asks you that constantly. But is there a whole lot more to it?
No, I mean, like, the bathroom itself, for example, is only 3 walls. It's not a full room, but it was just to give that little bit of depth from the bedroom in a different angle, if it was needed. You know, you only just glimpsed it, so you never even saw the bathtub. It was only there for that episode in series 2. But because we were resetting the whole set, everything gets taken out of the containers, so it was there. That's why I took the picture and tweeted and teased people with it.
Is that quite fun then? Do you get like quite a lot of like interest from people by tweeting like a lot of the set?
Yes, well, it went phenomenal, really. It was just over a year ago when I tweeted the first picture of an empty studio. I had 115 followers, some of which knew who I was, but mostly it was people I knew. Mm. And within 2 weeks, I think it had reached 8,000.
Wow. Yeah. Was that a bit of a shock?
It was a little bit of a shock, yeah. But then it was quite, the reason I did it was to kind of document what we did in a way. And I don't use social media at all. The only thing I do is Twitter. I hadn't really, up to that point, I tweeted a few pictures, but nothing really. And then it was at that point I thought, right, I'll do one every day, show the development of the set as it was built and stuff. And then through that then, kind of with the amount of followers and the amount of interest, I then started mm-hmm. doing props and elements, but only things that weren't spoilers, I was allowed to carry on
instead of being slapped on the wrist.
Because of my position, I knew what were spoilers and what weren't, and what I could show and what I couldn't, so it worked out quite all right.
Does it give you quite a lot of pleasure then to be able to share that aspect of your job with so many people?
Yes, it does. And also it's in order to show what we do, because it's one of those weird jobs, really, because if you do your job well, people don't see it. So it's kind of nice to actually show what goes into it from behind the scenes. Not so much for myself, but for there's quite a big team behind me, and a lot of those guys, some of them don't even get credited. So it's nice for those guys to see and to get the credit for the amount of work they do,
It's interesting actually how like social media has changed that aspect of the industry, because a lot of us, previously didn't get to see the kind of stuff that you guys do behind the scenes and the amount of detail that goes into it.
That's a real bonus of it, really. I think that's really cool.
That's what you enjoy about it.
It's wonderful to see it in process. As someone, especially with such long gaps between when they get to film things, it's wonderful to have those little bits of, like, this is where the process is right now.
Yeah, and it's quite nice. It's a two-way street, but it's nice to have that feedback, you know.
From fans, yeah. Were you surprised by the amount of interest that people had in the series, like in the amount of detail that people like to go into?
Yeah. I don't think anyone expected that kind of...
There's like the master list of the books on the shelf that someone has made, where they have just like zoomed in.
Yes.
Does it make you feel like you have to be a bit more careful about what you put on set?
No, because you have to be anyway. You know, there has to be a level of detail anyway. But things like books, for example, you can't just go and put anything within them. You have to make sure that if you're going to be able to read that the spine of the book, then it has to be cleared. And we're allowed to use it. And the same with photographs and paintings and stuff like that. So we've always had to do an element of detail because of that. So, but for a different reason, maybe. But, the detail's always been had to be done.
It's quite interesting, actually, because there's whole blogs on the internet dedicated to costumes and props that are reused through different TV series.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen any of those.
No, I haven't seen any of those.
They're quite interesting, actually, like from a sort of an just as an interest thing. But do you end up reusing things from other TV shows quite a bit?
Not deliberately, but because there's a set amount of prop houses that service the whole industry from feature films through to TV shows.
Yeah.
Certain stuff does get reused. I mean, I spot stuff I've hired on different films and stuff. You know, like for example, there's a couple of desks I've seen in Bond films. There's cutlery and glassware, because a certain cut glassware, you know, of a certain period, for example,
it's very distinctive.
It's very distinctive, so you spot it easy.
We missed the talk yesterday, unfortunately. We hope we're going to go and see you do it today.
It was quite cool. A lot of it was about dressing the sets, why the difference between from the pilot to the series, and people had interest. It was quite cool.
Yeah, because you brought along quite a lot of nice photographs as well. And
I showed some photographs. And just to show a little bit of the depth of detail we have to go to. So where I showed a bit of graphics that we do, you know, even stuff that you didn't see on screen in the end, but we had to make sure that we got it covered.
Yeah.
A bit of that sort of thing. I'll do a little bit more of that today as well.
Yeah, I really enjoyed, actually, sorry Taylor, I really enjoyed the things you brought to the meet and greet last night, which is, if anyone doesn't follow us on Instagram, it was the storyboards and also all those pictures that those girls have done for you for the set. Mm. So like, there are people who come work and do work experience like on the set.
I do. Because when I was starting out, it was very difficult for me to kind of get started and get going. So I've always tried to be kind of give people work experience. And especially, I've got a very good relationship with the design course at the Royal Welsh College of Music and Drama.
Yeah.
Which so we quite often have students that are in the second or third year there come for a few weeks. And because it's a theatre design course, but they quite like to see the other side of the coin, as it were, in television.
That's good. Yeah. Do you think it would be quite difficult for somebody nowadays, like, to get into that? Like, if you were going to give somebody like a piece of advice about how to get on,
it's just keep knocking the door. These days, the only way really to get it is to get to know people. So the only way to do that is to go and do work experience. Try and get in, do it for free. And that's the best way.
And then
if you get that little foot in the door, just make sure they remember you. Work as hard as you can.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I think I think we'll probably leave that there, just because you've got like stuff to do,
and that's cool.
You have a bit of a break.
All right,
thank you very much for speaking to us,
and
hopefully we'll get to speak to you again sometime. Cool. If this quotidian world has got you crying, won't you two to one?